Series on the book of 1 Thessalonians, and it's been a few weeks now since I've been on holidays, but we're back into it again, and we're in chapter 1, in the latter part of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, particularly verses 6 through to 10. And I've entitled this message, From Substitutes to Reality. So last time we're in 1 Thessalonians, we saw the great confidence that believers can have regarding the future. A confidence based upon the truth about our election by God in the body of Christ. That our future destiny is secure in Him because our faith is based upon a person who is unfailing and not upon our abilities which are always failing. And knowing that you can be certain of going to heaven when you die and that God is keeping you by his grace now offers tremendous security in an insecure world. And today, as we look again at 1 Thessalonians, we see the progression of the life of faith. When we appreciate the wonderful truths of our salvation, then there should be the evidence of that in how we relate to others, how we desire that others would receive the same salvation that we have experienced if we're a believer here this morning. And we are to love other people with a love beyond our human capabilities. And so as the Apostle Paul writes to this church, this group of believers in Thessalonica, which was in Macedonia, he talks to them about how they've become followers in verse 6, and he says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Spirit. The Thessalonian believers had clearly demonstrated that their lives were changed. They were now Christians. They were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Paul reveals something very interesting in this verse, where he says these Christians became followers of both the apostles and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you became followers of us and of the Lord. Now, Paul was an influencer, and he was developing lots of followers. Not on Facebook, not on Instagram, where he could manicure his profile and edit his pictures to draw in more followers. No, his was a real-life experience of being up close and personal as he shared of his conversion to Christ and what that meant in his life. Now, we would expect that the Thessalonian Christians to be followers of the Lord because Jesus said in Luke 9:23 that this was part and parcel of being a disciple of Christ. He said in that verse, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And this means that we as believers in Jesus Christ must die to the self-life, that is, our selfish, independent, sinful lifestyles must be put to death daily. Someone once made this statement, and I don't know who said it, but I recorded a long time ago, and it was said this way, the cross is the mark of death to an independent lifestyle. The cross is the mark of death to an independent lifestyle. But Paul here says of these Thessalonians that they became followers of him and his co-workers as well as followers of the Lord. And from the evidence in their lives, it indicates that by imitating Paul and the apostles that it in no way diminished their enthusiasm and reliance upon the Lord. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul starts off that chapter by saying, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He wasn't being arrogant or blowing his own trumpet or claiming perfection. He was merely acknowledging his dependence on the Lord and his ever-increasing desire to serve him and to submit to him as his Lord and Master. And that is a challenging claim that Paul makes, don't you think? Are you willing to say to a younger Christian, imitate me? That is quite daunting, isn't it? To think that another person would follow my example in living their life. Are we prepared to be scrutinised in such a way and then openly suggest that our life should be emulated? And yet the reality is that this is most probably what is happening in your life. In all likelihood, somebody is imitating your example. Especially if you have children, that is sure to be the case. Are you satisfied that the way you are living out your Christian experience is drawing others to seek an honest and genuine relationship with Jesus Christ? Are your children growing up with the greatest opportunity they can have of seeing Christ lived out in human flesh, your life? That is a great challenge to us as parents, but it's also a great challenge to us as Christians in general. And Paul was willing to acknowledge that the Thessalonians had become followers of him and the Lord, and there wasn't an anomaly in what they saw. They saw Christ, and they saw Paul living out his life in dependence and faith on Christ as his Lord. Paul indicates that the circumstances surrounding these believers becoming Christians was very difficult. He said, "They became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." Their coming to Christ wasn't an easy journey. It was in much affliction. That word is also translated often as persecution. And so here Paul says that they had persecution, they had affliction, but they also had joy. Affliction and joy. Seems like a paradox, doesn't it? If you are afflicted or experiencing persecution, which often equates to experiencing pain, how can you have joy? And yet they experienced affliction, and yet had the joy of the Holy Spirit within. And that is one of the anomalies of the Christian life. That those who experienced the most persecution are usually the ones who experience the most joy. Because the Holy Spirit provides his strength and joy when we need it most. Pain and suffering pairs back the great inclination to rely on self and causes us to depend fully on the Lord. And that is when we will experience the greatest joy in our lives. So I wonder, what is your joy quotient this morning? As well as being followers, Paul says that these Christians became examples, verses 7 to 10, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. The believers in Thessalonica became great examples of Christian witness to others. But before they became witnesses to the life of Christ, they had to become followers of him, as we read in verses 6 and 7. You can't witness to the reality of Jesus Christ until you've experienced his life transformation in your life. The joy and the peace that comes from sins forgiven and a personal relationship with Jesus is not something that you will proclaim before you've experienced his impact in your own life. And the radical life change to the Thessalonian believers caused all those around them to observe the difference. As he says in verse 8, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth in Macedonia and Achaia, and also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out." He says in verse 9, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." They had had a life transformation. Their conversion experience had become widely known. And Paul mentions three key factors in their salvation and in their life before God. He says there is a turning, there is a serving, and there is a waiting. He said they had turned to God from idols. They were now serving the living and true God, and they were waiting for the return of the risen Saviour. They turned to God from idols. Idol worship was rife through the Gentile world of the New Testament, and it was a familiar part of the pagan culture, even as we see in another occasion where Paul was ministering in Ephesus and where the silversmiths lost their business of making idols and statues because of the influence of the gospel. And that caused a riot in the city because they didn't like losing their business. And the city of Thessalonica in Macedonia was also awash with pagan idols and ungodly morality. And that is why there was a great cost for these believers in coming to Christ. They couldn't carry on with their old lifestyles and claim to be Christians. A radical change was required in yielding to Christ as Lord. And that is what Paul says had become evident in their lives. People could see the change that had taken place. Wives were being converted and having to go home to unbelieving husbands. Children came to Christ and had to return home to pagan families. This was costly for them. We may think that we don't have idols in our country today, but that could not be further from the truth. Because an idol is anything that takes precedence over God as number one in your life. Everybody has a God, whether it is the true God or one of our own making. Some people drive their gods and wash and polish them every weekend. Other people live in their God. Still others take their God to the gym for a workout three times a week. Others store their gods in their bank accounts. Others go with a group of other people to a sporting field and worship their idols as they play their sport before them. The gods of the Western society may not be stereotyped as they are in some cultures, but they are just as real. And the testimony of the Thessalonians was that they had turned to God from idols. This is repentance, a turning from selfish desires and ambitions and all that that involves, and turning towards God, embracing him as our Lord and as our Saviour and the sole authority in our life. He said they turned to God. That is faith. As he said in verse 8, your faith in God has gone forth and become known. And people around them could see the enthusiasm for Christ, and by their rejection of their old ways and idols, that something unique and special had occurred in their lives. In Acts chapter 20, Paul wrote of what that transformation was like as they had come to Christ. In chapter 20, verse 21, he says that he had been testifying to Jews and to Gentiles, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what becoming a Christian means. It means turning from our way 180 degrees and turning to God and trusting completely in him and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these believers had turned from their gods to the living God. And then they were serving. To serve the living and true God. They had now changed their allegiance from idols to the living and true God. All other gods were worthless because they couldn't offer them anything and they couldn't deliver on what they thought they might promise. These believers were now joyfully serving the living and true God. And serving God should be reflected by joy in our lives. As Paul mentioned, the joy experienced in their lives. Serving through ministry in the church should be not be a grudging response, but a joyful one. If it isn't, then maybe your priorities are wrong and you need to realign them. And these believers here had turned to God and were now serving him. And then thirdly, he says they were waiting. They were waiting for the return of the risen Saviour. One of the greatest truths that should stimulate us and encourage us to faithful service is that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Knowing about the return of Christ is not to be merely from a curiosity standpoint, but to stimulate us to greater faithfulness for our Saviour and to live holy lives before him. The Apostle John was writing about that in one of his letters that he wrote towards the end of the New Testament, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and then into chapter 3. He says, "Now, little children, abide in him," that's Christ, "that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Then in chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." The second coming of Christ is mentioned in every chapter of this letter to the Thessalonians. Being in readiness for the return of Christ, who said he would return in like manner as his disciples saw him go. And it seems to be a very recurrent theme throughout the New Testament. It is a reminder of our accountability to God as our Maker and our Redeemer, and also reminds us of his faithfulness in keeping us secure and preparing a place to be with him eternally. If we have our thoughts and lives focused heavenward, then the return of Christ is a comforting factor and brings great confidence. But if our lives are worldly oriented, then the last thing that we are waiting for is the Lord's return. Does the thought of the Lord's return inspire confidence in you? Or does it make you ashamed of how you've been living? And Paul calls us, just as he had called the Thessalonians, to a place of repentance. He calls us to the same. Repent by turning back to God and seeking his forgiveness. To serve him as the scriptures instruct us, and to wait expectantly for Christ's return as faithful believers have done down through the centuries. Let's pray together.